for tonight for his faithfulness to me. I think the longer you serve the Lord, one of the things that you become increasingly aware of is the fact of God's faithfulness. And I think that it's so important that sometimes we pause to think upon God's faithfulness, and then we ought to examine our own faithfulness to him. We certainly want to hear him say, don't we? Well done, thy good and faithful servant. How many of you want him to say that to you? How many of you believe that he will say that to you if you're faithful? We want him to say many, many things to us. I suppose all of us read his word, and through reading his word and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, he speaks to us through his word. Then there are times that we pray desperately as we tarry before him, pray in prayer, God, speak to me. And we listen for that inner voice. We want him to speak to us. We want him to speak to us audibly sometimes. And though perhaps we don't hear it audibly, we hear it with our spiritual ears. And we do hear. But when I think about facing him face to face and know that he is going to speak to me face to face, I want to hear his voice. And one of the things I want him to be able to say is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to live that way, don't you? I want us to pray tonight before the service is over. I want to encourage you to do everything that you can to be here Sunday morning. I want you to come praying. I want you to come with expectation. I want you to come believing God. You know, if you don't expect anything, chances are you won't receive anything. But I want you to come with great expectation from God. I want you to pray for the souls of men as we endeavor to preach on the thought man's greatest freedom. Of course, we celebrate our nation's freedom in the signing of the Declaration of Independence, and we enjoy many freedoms because of that declaration. But there's a greater freedom than that freedom, or what that Constitution provides for us. And we want God to move. So I want you to pray. In fact, I would encourage you to pray. Find some time Saturday. I challenge this group to find some special time or place to pray on Saturday that God would move in our services. The Lord is speaking to me about some very definite things that I feel like we need to do as a church as far as our spiritual well-being. But I'm approaching it a little bit different than I've ever approached it before. I want whatever I lead you to do to make sure that that's what the Spirit is telling me to lead you to do. I just don't want to promote another program. I want to do what the Spirit wants me to do. And if that's the call for an early morning prayer meeting every day in the week, if I feel that's what the Spirit wants me to do, then I want to open the doors of this church every morning at 6 o'clock, every day in the week, for you to pray. If the Lord's speaking to me to do that, I feel that stirring in my soul, but I want to make sure it's the Spirit. For I feel if the Spirit speaks to me to do that, then he's going to speak to you to come and pray. And there are many other things the Lord is addressing me about, but I believe that God wants to do some very specific things for us in the way of bringing out real, real revival. And I believe God is leading me, and of course I believe he would speak to me first. And since I'm seeking for the leadership and guidance, but I believe he's also speaking to others, and I am continually getting that witness from other people in this congregation that are sharing with me how the Lord is speaking to them about what they should do, and it's blessing me to see how the Spirit is ministering to different people within this body, and how He's moving in our service and in our lives. And I really believe that you're in store for some of the greatest experiences from God you've ever had in your life. How many of you believe that's possible? Hallelujah to God. There's still more, friends. There's still more for you, and there's still more for me if we'll just pay the price. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me tonight to 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. I continue speaking to you from Paul's last letter. He wrote just before he was martyred for his testimony for the cause of Christ. He was filled with concern for young Timothy, his son in the ministry. He was concerned that Timothy would be strong and face an opposition and adversity, trials, or whatever, that he would be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. He so much wanted Timothy to be a strong leader for wavering people. He so wanted Timothy to be a person that could rally people to a greater relationship to God. He was concerned about the fact that it was not enough for people or believers to start serving the Lord, but it was important that they would continue persistently drawing closer to the Lord. And in the 3rd chapter, after he had addressed Timothy in the 2nd chapter and said, Timothy, you're to be identified as a steward. You're to be identified as a soldier. You're to be identified as an athlete. You're to be identified as a farmer. You're to be identified as a workman. You're to be identified as a vessel unto honor. To be a vessel of honor, you must empty yourself. You must cleanse yourself. And you must make yourself available. And then he said, you must be a gentle servant. If you want to know the characteristics of a real child of God, then latch on to 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, and see yourself as a steward, a soldier, an athlete, a farmer, a workman, a vessel, and a servant. We're all those things and more. A Christian has many roles to play in this world. I sometimes feel like that we feel short. I believe that we have a multitude of roles to play. So many people feel like they have only one role to play as a Christian. But as I continue to read and study the Word of God, I find that He expects me to fill many places and many roles, and I have many responsibilities, and I must be faithful to all the tasks that God has called me to perform and the areas He's called me to function in. Then he gets into the 3rd chapter, and he changes a little bit in the course. And you must recognize, again and again I say, when he wrote Timothy, it was not divided up into chapters and verses. It was just one long letter. But this epistle changes a little bit in his thought when he gets to the 3rd chapter as it is divided. He seems to be now thinking about the end time and the characteristics of the end time. And he wanted Timothy to be aware. For you see, even Paul and the early disciples believed that they were even in the end time already. And in one sense of the word, they were. For since the coming of Jesus Christ and the establishing of the church, and the Gentile age. We have been in the end time age. And all the things that were listed here about the perilous times that he wanted to inform Timothy about were active even in the days of Paul and Timothy. They've only intensified in the days in which we live in because we are closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ than we've ever been before. I'm excited about believing that Jesus is going to come. And I'm excited about believing the fact that I believe that we're closer to his imminent return than ever before. And so he says in verse 1, this know also. Or it was like he was saying to Timothy, now Timothy, I want you to hear this. I want you to listen. I want you to give me your attention, Timothy. I want you to know some things so when they happen, they won't catch you unaware and send you in a spiritual tailspin. And you won't be overwhelmed about some of the things that are going to take place. He said, now hear this, or this know also, that in the last days, and he considered that even then they were in the last days. But now we believe that we're really more in the last days than ever before. This know that in the last days, perilous times shall come. That word perilous means difficult times, dangerous times, hard times, frustrating times. And then he gives us 18 characteristics of the last days. He lists 18 of them. He said, now this will be what will be going on in the last days. And the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the more these characteristics will be intensified, the greater they will become. It's not because we know more than we know, and we can see more than we've ever seen before and hear more than we've ever before. But the reason perilous times are going to come is because the Bible said that's just the way it's going to be before Jesus comes. So the amount of population doesn't have anything to do with it. Television, and because I can see more and read more, doesn't have anything. It's just going to get worse because the Bible says in the last days it's just going to be more difficult. It's going to be more dangerous. And he said, he talks about love. And he talks about three kinds of love that's going to be a characteristic of men in the days. I can say, first of all, he said, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Men were going to be selfish. They were going to become self-centered. They were going to be, like the humanists say a man ought to be, they ought to be wrapped up only in themselves. They make a god out of themselves. They love themselves far more than they had any thought of God. And because they love themselves, they become selfish and self-centered. It's this thing of saying, I want to do what I want to do. And it's me first, and who cares about what happens to anybody else? And we find that so prevalent in our society today that people really are in love with themselves. And they become very self-centered and very selfish. But it's going to be that way. The Bible says it's going to be that way. And the truth of the matter is that even people within the church, don't you have to fight self a whole lot? Isn't that the biggest battle we have is with self? Self says, oh, don't go to church. Self says, don't get involved. Self says, just go on Sunday morning. Self says, rest. Self says, you need to take care of yourself. Self says, you don't need to really do any more. You're doing enough. Self, 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 self. And he said, we must guard against that, but that would be a characteristic. And then he said, not only would they be lovers of their own selves, but they would be covetous. They would be lovers of money. Not only lovers of self, but they would be lovers of money. Fond of material things. He said, that would be a characteristic. And then he said they would be boasters, braggarts. They would be proud. They would be blasphemers. They would be evil speakers, speaking evil things and evil about people. Disobedient to parents. One of the signs of the last days that will anticipate will be the thing that children would be disobedient to parents, rebellious to parents. And sometimes we hear it, I hear it continually about rebellion from children to the parents, and parents throw up their hands and say, I don't know what to do. And friends, when we see all this disobedience to parents, we can laugh at it or push it aside. But when it becomes to the stage that it is in our society today, it says to me that this is what the Bible said would be a characteristic of the last days, that children would be disobedient to parents. We struggle over that today. Unthankful. People will be ungrateful, never thanking God for the blessings that we enjoy. They would be unholy. They would be profane. They just would not consider holy things. And whether you know it or not, there's that unholy feeling that I sense in our society sometimes. In the midst of everything that's going on today, there's still, we must face the fact that we're in a time when as much religious activity as we've got going on, there has still never been in our nation a lower moral climate than there is in our nation today. With everything we've got going on in our society that speaks of religion and speaks of Christianity, still in our society, we've never been lower morally than we are today. That says to me there's something wrong with our kind of Christianity. We need that kind that changes people. Glory. Changes people until they change what they do, they change what they say, they change where they go. We need that in our society. God help us. We must have. Unholy is a characteristic. Without natural affections. What does that mean? Without natural affections. It means that people inside of us, we have I call it a human love and a human affection. It's that affection that a parent has for children, and children have for parents, and husband has for wife, and wife has for and people have for one another. But he said they would be without natural affections. That's why mothers can have babies and leave them in trash cans. And that's why parents can burn their children and torture them. And fathers can rape their own kids. And that's why we have such an increase of incest in our society. And that's why we have in our society today continually child abuse. And we're alarmed. How can fathers go to bed with their own daughters? How can mothers and torture their own children and forsake them? And how can husbands and wives do such horrible things to one another?
It's because the Bible said in the last days, people will be without natural affections. And the reason they're without natural affections is because the spirit of the age and the pornography and the sin in the world today warps people's mind until they can't even think like they ought to think. Because they've been so possessed of the enemy. Have you ever seen or read in the paper how somebody will brutalize their baby? And you think, how could they do that? It's in the Bible. In the last days, it's going to get worse. It seemed to me like it's worse than it's ever been. I don't ever remember reading the kind of things I'm reading now in the paper. I don't ever remember thinking about that there would come a time that you'd be afraid to even put your child in a daycare center of a church because you would be afraid perhaps that they would be mistreated. But we're living in that kind of society that you don't know who to trust anymore. And the Bible says in the last days, people would be without a natural affection. And people that do such things have a demented, warped, deranged mind. And that's what comes to people who won't love God. The devil takes a person and warps him until he can't think straight. He can't do straight. And he said, without natural affections, truce breakers. And that word means simply that people just won't try to get along. They won't try to be reconciled. They won't try to get together. They just say, oh, it doesn't matter. And they don't care about a truce. They don't care about reconciliation. They don't care about harmony. They don't care about unity. They just break it. False accusers. It means they slander people. Don't care about what they do to somebody's reputation. Tell all manner of things on a person for no other reason just to slander a person's name. I want to tell you, God's going to judge gossip very severely. And one of the great sins that he's going to deal with and needs to be repented in the body of Christ is this thing of slandering and falsely speaking and accusing. And he said that would be a sign of the last days. False accusers. Incontinent. That means without self-control. They can't even control themselves. They've lost the control to be able to govern their passion. They're uncontrollable. We live when people have lost control of themselves. There's no self-control there. Fierce. It means they become like savages. They're savage in their response. Despisers of those that are good. They hate good. They make mock in fun of those that do good. Traitors. Traitors. They're treacherous. Betray people. Betray one another. Betray each other. Traitors to one another. That's a sign. Have you ever felt like that you've been betrayed by somebody that you placed a confidence in? And that is a sign of the last days. Heady. That means that they're rash. They just jump into things before they think it out. They do things without thought. They do things rashly. They're high-minded. That means they're conceited. They're puffed up. Lovers of pleasure. More than lovers of God. He said, man's three loves in the last days will be, he will love himself, he will love money, and he will love pleasure. If we're not there, I don't know where we are. If this society can be marked by anything, it is that men love themselves, they love money, and they love pleasure more than they love God. Now I believe, brother, when you serve God, God will give you enough pleasure. I believe he'll give you enough joy. You believe that? God won't cheat you out of a thing. Can you say praise the Lord for that? I mean, the devil's telling you a bald-faced lie. if he tells you if you serve God, you're going to lose all the pleasures of life. God will bless you with the greatest kind of pleasures. But he said, this is the way it's going to be. And then he says in verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. He says, in other words, they're going to be very religious, but they're not going to have any experience to go along with it. We live in a religious society today. And the one thing that continually is coming back to me is that I think that we are talking a lot of religion, but we don't have a lot of experience to back up what we're talking about. And that's one reason our society continually becomes more corrupt and more corrupt in spite of all the so-called move of God's Spirit we have in this world that we're living in. Still, we don't seem to be stemming the tide of lawlessness and ungodliness, which I believe real Holy Ghost revival will bring about a change in our community. Amen. I believe if Wichita Falls were to have real Holy Ghost revival, it would solve a lot of our problems on Kemp and everywhere else. Amen. I believe that. You believe that? Say praise the Lord. It will change things. Now there's 18 characteristics that he said to Timothy. This is what the last days are going to be like. And brother, if you can read these 18 things and not be convinced that we're in the last days, you're spiritually blind. Amen. And you need to get God to open your eyes, because they're worse to me now than they were 10 years ago. Amen. And if the Lord tarries and we don't have some sort of revival to stir us up, they're going to progressively get worse and worse. But the only thing I got to say to you, while things are getting worse and worse in the world, God's made provisions for Christians to get better and better. Hallelujah. You believe that? And even though I believe I'm living in a worse world than I've ever lived in, I thank God I believe I'm in better spiritual shape than I've ever been in. And that goes to show me, no matter which way the world goes, I have a relationship with God that I can keep intact, and I can become more spiritual and get better and better every day. Hallelujah. The world may be going to hell, but I'm on my way to heaven. Glory. And if there's ever been a time while the world is spinning its way closer and closer to destruction, God's people, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, ought to be getting better and better, that it will be a glorious church without spot or wrinkle that he's coming after. Hallelujah to the Lord. Now I said, Timothy, I got one piece of advice to you. And here it is. From such turn away. He said, you avoid it. You get away from it. That's his advice to Timothy. He says, I want to give you some good, sound advice, Timothy. These are the characteristics of the last days. You avoid these things. You avoid this. You don't get involved in these things. You keep yourself in a close relationship with God. And then he goes on down to verse 6, for of this sort, talking about these kind, referring back to these 18 different kind of characteristics and the people that are involved with this. He said, for of this sort are they which creep into the houses and lead captive silly women. Amen. Who do you think silly women are? For this sort, these ungodly people. And see, now I want to tell you something about these people we just talked about. They profess religion. They're religious professors. He said, now these people, they have a form of godliness. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. In other words, they don't know anything about the power of God. They may know the Bible, but they don't know the power of God. There's a lot of people that know what the Bible says but knows nothing about the power of God. They know how to carry on a service. They know how to be religious. They know how to pray. They know how to sing. They know how to preach. They know how to witness. They know how to give. But you can know how to do all those things and still not know the power of God. Glory. Thank God. I'm glad we can know the power of God, aren't you? And he said, for of this sort, these kind of people who have a form of godliness, are they which creep into the houses and lead captive silly women. That word silly means foolish women. Weak-willed women. And he said, these women are laden with sins. They got lots of sins in their life. And these women are led away to all kind of different kinds of desires and lusts. They have a desire for wealth. They have a desire for sex. They have a desire for popularity. They have a desire for pomp and glory. They got all these kind of desires inside of them. And they're burdened down with sin. And they're looking for answers. And so these false prophets and false teachers come into these weak-willed women and these foolish women, and they creep in to try to tell them to find how they can find an answer. Now, to really understand this, you might understand that Jesus Christ liberated women a very great deal when he came along and taught. Women were thought as a piece of property in the days of Jesus. Greek women were not even able to go shop at the market by themselves. They were isolated. They weren't exposed. They couldn't go to public meetings. They were just treated as a piece of furniture. So Jesus Christ comes along and teaches about freedom, and women begin to get saved. And under his preaching and teaching, they got liberated from some things. And when they got liberated and got freer, many of them didn't know how to handle their newfound liberty. And these false teachers and false prophets took advantage of these women's lack of knowing what to do in their newfound liberty. And many of them were guilt-ridden. And many of them had all kind of desires. And they were looking for answers. They were looking for somebody to teach them and tell them what to do. They were emotionally, and they were looking for an answer. And so this sort, they creep in. That word means they worm their way in. They slip in. They ease into the houses of these women and lead them captive. In other words, they capture these women, much like, of course, it was men and women like Jones did. A thousand of them kill themselves. We still got that. You may not know this. We still got that kind of thing going on in the world today. There's a lot of silly men and women in the world today who are laden down with sin and got all kind of desires, and they want somebody to tell them what to do, and there's always somebody got a new answer somewhere, a new remedy, a new way for you to do it, and it's not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where cults come from, and that's where false religions come from. Well, he says, they lead these and led away with divers love. He says, these women, in verse 7, are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. They learn and learn, but they don't know the truth. I think there's people, more people know more things today than I've ever known before, and yet they don't have a knowledge of the truth. You know, when I think about churches that would teach in their Sunday school hour about seances and talking with the dead and trying to gain knowledge about where they believe in reincarnation or not. I mean, actually, some churches they want to learn. Tell me all I can. And you know, we don't lack for a knowledge today. We lack from a knowledge of the truth. And people think they want answers for everything. Well, brother, what they really need an answer for is they need an answer to their problem, and the problem is sin, and the only answer we got to give them is Jesus Christ. It's just simple. And yet people, that doesn't satisfy people. I got to have something more than that. It just doesn't seem like Jesus is enough. There must be another answer. And they go from one person to another. Give me a new answer. Give me something new. I want to hear something different. I want to tell you, there is only one gospel this world needs, and it's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the knowledge of truth. He said, now as Jannes and Jambres, these were magicians in the Old Testament who withstood Moses when he went to deliver the children of Israel from Egyptian bondage. When Moses threw down his rod and it became a snake, they threw down their rod and it became a snake. and Moses' rod, the snake ate up those snakes. But they had power. That buffaloes me, but they did that. And then it says when Moses took his rod and struck the waters and the waters turned to blood, the magicians turned water into blood also. And then it says when Moses took his rod and brought forth frogs, the magicians brought forth frogs too. Everything Moses did, they did. So the people stood back around and said, who are we going to believe? Are we going to believe that Moses is really from God when these magicians can do the same thing? You see, the devil is always trying to imitate God. And he is a counterfeiter. And brother, there are some areas where Satan can imitate the work of God. Amen. If you don't know that, you better know that. I mean, he counterfeits the things of God. But I got better news for you. He said, now Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. These false prophets, these people that we've talked about, these that they have a form of God. And he said, they resist the truth, and they resist the truth by trying to counterfeit and imitate what God's doing. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, have no judgment. Disapproved as far as the faith is concerned. They've been disapproved. They're not approved by God. But it says in verse 9, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men as there also was. In other words, God said, these kind of people, their works are going to come to an end someday and they're going to be exposed. They can just go so far and then that's enough. When they try to bring forth lice, they couldn't bring forth lice. God let them go so far, and then he said, no more. I don't know why God allowed them to throw down the rod and it become a snake and then turn water into blood and bring on more frogs. But when they went far as he wanted them to go, God said, this is enough, and he exposed them and let the world, the people knew that Moses and Aaron had a relationship and a power that they didn't have. They were the men of God. And I got to quit there with verse 9. But he, in the first 9 verses, was saying to Timothy, in the last days, to be a true minister of the gospel, there's some things you've got to flee. And then in the next verses, he says, there's some things you've got to follow. And in the last verses, he says, you've got to continue in the word. And I so desperately wanted to get down to the last verses of this chapter, where we talk about the inspiration of the scripture. God loves us. God loves you. Would you stand to your feet at this time? I appreciate your faithfulness tonight. And I tell you what I'd like to do. Let's take at least 5 minutes to pray before we go. Nelda, would you come? Would you just join me in about 5 or 10 minutes of prayer? I've kept you a little longer than I did, but I get so, I love to, I just love, I wish you could just enjoy taking the word and going verse. You'll never get enough of this word. There's something sometimes it says to me that maybe I ought to take the Bible and just every time I get up, just take it verse by verse, word by word. And the devil says, oh, that just dull people out. Well, it ought not dull you out. It ought to make you glad. There's life in this Bible, brother. You believe there's life in this Bible? I get so tired of hearing people skip around and pick and nitpick and don't no more know what they're, before they get through, they're so fouled up. They get so fouled up because they don't take the entire word of God. I'm glad, thank God, that if you'll just take it word for word, verse for verse, book by book, and believe that all 66 books are important. Do you believe that? You believe that? When Paul said to Timothy, all scripture is given by inspiration, God, he wasn't even talking about the New Testament. The New Testament wasn't even written. He was just talking about the Old Testament. We've got the Old Testament new. And that means to me, if he's saying, Timothy, you need to study all the Old Testament, bless God, I believe we ought to know what's in the Old Testament. I believe it's written for our example and our admonition. And if you don't want to read the Old Testament, you need to pray through till you do want to read it. Amen. It's worthy.